Let's do this thing. Welcome to Studio 68, home of the Mike Hoffman Show. Actually, that was at the Canadian Tire Stand tonight. We're the Sens Call-Ups, and this is Emergency Episode 20.5 for Wednesday, April 22nd, 2015. I'm Cardinal, Canuck and Panner here as well, and this will just be a short celebration of tonight's game, and we'll get around to a full episode at some point later on this week or next week. As always, you can reach us via email at podcast@senscallups.com, via Twitter, via Facebook, via the online forums, and via the waiver wire at 844-SCU-6565. My voice is already pretty worn out because I was yelling quite a bit tonight, but I'll do the best I can. Boys, how are you?
Relieved. We finally got a win.
Oh, that clicked.
That was fun.
The train just passed by your house, or is that Pam?
Nice.
Skype, you know. We do what we can because we want to get this out.
Hey, it's an emergency episode. Exactly.
Well, we tried, but someone's phone was dead.
That was fun.
Yeah, sorry. My phone was dead.
That's right.
Can we just not have one goal games anymore? It's getting really stressful.
Yes, but the one goal game that we won was a shutout. Hello. Let's look at the positive out of this.
Ugh.
And what an experience it was. Pan and I were both at the game tonight, not together. Sylvie, thank you again for the invitation. And Pan, thank you for texting me to tell me to check my direct messages on Twitter because I have the sound alerts turned off, so I don't hear anything when those come in.
I figured you might have been at work or something.
Well, I was just getting too annoyed with my phone. I got too annoyed with my phone binging from stuff, so I just didn't want it to.
Why
I turned most of
your phone binging?
Bing harder. Exactly.
So I turned most of that off, but I got your message, so it all worked out. And it was a fun experience to be at the game tonight. It really was. Now, we'll talk about the game first, and then we can talk about the different experiences, because Canuck, you were watching this one from home, I believe.
Yeah.
So I actually am interested to see what the TV experience was like, because I know I've turned off the entire Rogers experience. I just can't handle their homerism for this series anymore. So I'll be interested to see what that was like. But quickly, the game itself, game impressions. The game was...
Jump into that, capital gains. So but I guess between games and between game days and whatnot, he that YouTube video.
Amazing video.
Oh, yes.
Incredible. Yeah, incredible.
Extraordinary. Video. Extraordinary.
That thing has just gone everywhere.
As it should.
He's over 24,000 views right now, actually, on this thing.
Wow.
Which well is done. Fantastic. So I think he just, at least on the Twitterverse, if you want to call it that, got people more positive and excited about today. I think that really helped.
Well, it was very good, to be certain.
It was very good.
All right, kudos to him.
So I just wanted to kind of give a shout out for that. Yeah.
What's his Twitter account, what's his account on YouTube? I mean, if you people aren't on Twitter and they want to watch this, I don't know, to be honest.
You just search Capital Gains, it should come up.
Capital Gains, it'll come up.
Yeah,
okay. Capital Gains
65. Capital Gains 65 in one word.
There you go.
I started the video today.
Well worth a watch if anybody hasn't seen it already. Very, very good. And the place was certainly buzzing tonight. It was.
It really was.
Yeah, I wasn't at the first playoff game, so I can't compare them. The impressions that I was getting from, and Penn, you can give your thoughts on this, from the people I was talking to around me, was there were a lot more Habs fans there tonight than there were for game three.
There really was. So yeah. I have a feeling that because we were down 3-0, some people just bailed and looked at the financial opportunity.
Yeah.
Which yeah. really it's your ticket. It's your prerogative, right? So
yeah, you'd already paid for it. So you get to do with it what you want. But there were a lot of Habs there.
Yeah, there really were.
Some of them were cool, and some of them were not. But to give at least a little bit of credit, some of the ones who were being complete jerks, when told that they were being complete jerks, I actually was standing next to two of them and went, oh, sorry, and actually toned it down. Because they didn't, I guess because they're so used to acting that way in their own building, they didn't realize that doing that in somebody else's building was being pretty douchey. They honestly, they had never realized
what
that.
What were they doing?
Think. Oh, they were just, they were going, Andy! And, you know, just you know, general stuff like that and calling out a lot of crap that was going on. But once they realized, you know, this isn't your building and, you know, we don't mind you being here, but don't be
this is our house.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a bit. They actually behaved they were actually quite cool about it. I was impressed. And at the end of it, they actually said, that was a really entertaining game. I hope we have some more like that. Like, almost like they don't want the series to end because the game was so entertaining.
These games have been entertaining, quite frankly.
Well, exactly. That was one of the things we were talking about. I mean, just because, I mean, as a Senators fan, just because we were down 3-0, yes, I'd rather not be down 3-0, but the games have been very, very good.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly. Anyway, when you're looking at it with being a one-goal game and two overtime games, it's close.
Absolutely. Excuse me. Absolutely.
When I was at the first home game, which was game three, and sitting right next to me was an oversized Habs fan, so row A, and this person, like, they were fine. Like, they were really into it, and they're, you know, it was a female, and they were really kind of chirping, being loud and stuff, but they weren't bugging me. But I was really amazed that this person was leaning forward. Not just leaning forward, but leaning with their arms over the rails the whole game. And I'm like turning around and looking at the people behind them. I'm like, I'd be saying something because there's no way they could have seen anything that came in past the face-off dots in their own end. Because she was leaning forward and right up over the rails.
Yeah. Oh, I would have been. You know, sit back. No, not please sit back.
The only other thing with that too is that, But the other thing I think is also that they're not aware that that they're blocking views.
That's right. Sorry, I would say please the first time.
Yeah.
Yes.
I would say please the first time. And after that, I'd be like, no, sit back. You're blocking my view of a third of the ice.
Anyway.
And after five times, they'd have a beer poured down their back. No, I wouldn't do that. That's a waste of a perfectly good and very expensive beer. So you go and fill it with cold water.
Yeah, you just throw it at Brooks Lake instead.
No, you take your beer cup and you take it to the bathroom and fill it up with the really hot water that they have there, and that's what you pour in. Anyway, getting back to the game, there was no scoring until the third period, but in the first period, Borowiecki took two penalties. The first one, interference, I could kind of see that one because I did see that play happen right in front of me. Because
it was a penalty.
It was a penalty. That one. Was
I like
legitimate.
It.
But the second one for cross-checking, for clearing the crease from a player who wasn't supposed to be in the crease to begin with?
It's technically a penalty, but it's kind of one of those ones they always seem to look the other way on, but
exactly.
No, they called it today.
There's no reason to be calling that penalty. He was in the blue paint when he shouldn't have been because the puck wasn't there. And he wasn't getting out of it, so Borowiecki cleared him out. So there's no reason to call that, but they did anyway. Now, kudos to the Ottawa Senators' penalty kill, which looked really good tonight, by the way. The penalty kill looked really good from the in-game view, at least, as far as I was concerned. Now, the penalty kill looked really good, but my question is, and because I was watching the game at the game, what went on with that face-off violation? How did that all come about? Because it didn't seem to make any sense to the people in the building, and I'm not entirely sure what was called. So, Canuck, you were watching it on television, or I don't know if it was you or Penn who was retweeting Carrie Fraser, but I didn't understand what had happened there because it was four consecutive draws, and then we take a penalty. What's going on?
I actually didn't see this live because I was listening to the radio driving back to my place.
Okay. Sorry.
I was really close, but once
I've got it.
But I saw the video on Twitter after the fact, and I heard Dean and Gord commenting on it, and they were losing their mind on this. And basically, for whatever reason, I can't recall who took the original face off, but they got thrown out.
It was Turris.
Turris, okay. And then Hoffman came in, and when the linesman or ref, whoever it was dropping the puck, at least from the video I saw, he went to drop the puck. It didn't go down. It actually came up and hit himself in the face, and he threw Hoffman out. And then they all converged and said, oh, that's two throwouts, and that's a penalty. And now, so if you look at the video, it looks like the referee just made a mistake. And then they decided to say, oh, no, that's two face-off violations. That's a penalty.
What happened there, guys? Guys? Is what happened there because the Senator's official account tweeted an overhead view. And what happened was Hoffman's stick actually ended up hitting the linesman in the hand, which is what made the puck fly up into his face. So because Hoffman made contact with the linesman, you get ejected from the face-off. So it's on the second guy that gets ejected, it's a penalty.
Right.
So it was actually a good call.
Okay, because the video looks inconclusive on the view I saw. And it just looked like the referee made a mistake.
Yeah. If you go back to the Senator's account, though, the official one, you'll see it and then it'll make sense to you.
Okay. Well, okay. Rogers especially what's his name there? Strombolopoulos. And they were very vehemently, and Kypros were insistent that Yono Hoffman's stick hit it. So.
Well, of course they were. Yeah. That doesn't exactly come as a surprise, does it?
If they get the views, too, that they don't share either, it's.
Now,
anyway, but no, it live that you couldn't see it, and it's like, really, you're gonna call a face-off violation?
Oh yeah, the building was not happy.
We never see that call.
Yeah, the building was not a happy place to be. Now,
it's a good thing to save the very first call of that penalty to be like, you know, an elimination game and a 0-0 score.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah,
because that makes total sense. Now, there were three penalties in total to the Senators tonight, which is down from how many the Zebras have been calling on them.
We only got
in the first few games. We only got three.
Wow.
Now, Montreal only got two. And considering that there was contact with the goaltender, granted he wasn't necessarily in the blue paint, but there was contact with the goaltender away from the puck twice in the third period. And it was right in front of me because I was sitting in the front row of the 300s right behind the goal. And it was very obvious. Once Craig Anderson was almost dumped on his behind by Galchenyuk. Not Gallagher, but Galchenyuk. I can't remember who the other one was.
Took a swing at him too, right?
Well, Anderson did. Yeah, he took a full swing with the stick at him. I don't think he made contact, unfortunately, though. I really wish he had.
No, he didn't.
I really wish he had. Because he was furious that, you know, what does it take? What does it take to get this called?
You have to have the name Price on your back.
Clearly. And you need to be wearing a big C, not a big O. Why? Not an O, because we're the wrong section. We're obviously, it's a bias for consonants instead of vowels, even if we weren't wearing those particular sweaters tonight. It was just absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. But I don't think that anybody was happy with the refereeing tonight. Now, in the third period, I mean, the big moment came at 9:05 of the third period on a rather innocent-looking play, which validated what so many people have been saying about this team so far in this series.
That Hoffman should be on the fourth line. Right?
Well, he was on the second line at the time. No, that they need to shoot pucks at the net. Just shoot it at the net.
Oh.
What a novel idea.
Because there were three occasions in the third period. There was one 3-on-2, one 2-on-1, and one other time where it was, I'm looking for a fancy play.
I don't know. This shooting on the net stuff, that's just fancy
overrated
stats.
Yeah, well, That's right. I actually turned to Sylvie at one point in the first period when the shots were 6-1 because we had whistled them all around the net, but not actually on the net. So we were getting badly outshot. I said, well, at least our Corsi's good. By the way, I don't remember what the card stat was. You made reference to it recently. I can't remember what that is.
Cardwick.
Cardswick, sorry. Yeah. What's Cardswick?
Cardswick is takeaway for versus takeaway against or giveaway.
Thank you. I remember talking about it, but I couldn't remember what a stat named after me was.
the one that you created.
Yeah, the one that I created thought would be a great idea, but I couldn't remember what it was. Well, you've known me long enough to know I've got a memory like a colander. It's not really a surprise.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway, Mike Hoffman.
Mark Stone's Cardswick is probably about 900 million right now.
About a billion.
Yeah.
But that goal was, it was down at your end of the rink. I was 200 feet away, but it looked like a fairly innocent play. Very simple, keeping the puck in, shoot it at the net, see what happens.
So how was the crowd reaction after that?
Huge. Oh,
that is the loudest that I've heard it in a long time.
The building was pretty quiet through an awful lot of the game were talking about, it was very tense. Everyone's, sitting on pins and needles and, they make the noise and it just wasn't that loud. But when that goal went in, holy smokes, was it loud.
Actually don't give out the tell.
The DB meter on my phone registered 119.
Wave in the air. Oh, wow. Yours too? Okay. Because I saw it jump up, but it's a. No, they don't give out the towels to wave around. It's actually to bite down on.
Oh, is that it? Well, I also got a little Clark MacArthur face on a stick. And I really wasn't sure what I was supposed to do with it.
You're handing those out too?
So I was waving that around too, as well as the towels. The towels looked really good. I had forgotten how good that looks because I haven't been to I guess the last time I was at a playoff game was against the Rangers.
Well, the towels themselves look like crap, but I think you mean the effect of everybody waving them.
Yeah. Yes. Well, actually, the towels aren't so bad. I mean, I'll be able to use it to wax my car or something, but the effect of them waving looked really, really cool in building.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know what it looked like on TV, nor it looks pretty good on the television, but inside the building, it was wicked to look up and see, okay, it's not quite the Winnipeg whiteout, but it's not bad. It's not bad at all. And then after that, building was loud, for sure.
So the whiteout, too, it's been how many years?
19.
Like 19? Yeah, they're going to be amped.
Oh, yeah. So. Excuse me, I just need another, $50. My voice is getting hoarse.
Sure, good excuse.
Because it works, what can I say? So, the game. Penn, you talk about the in-game experience first. I'll add a few thoughts maybe after that. Because you were sitting in 319.
No, I'm in 320. Of course I get moved.
Oh, you got moved to 320. Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, I'm not sitting there.
I was wondering.
The one thing is that it's... They get drowned out. So the RSU, too, it's... They've... In my opinion, they've actually been better. Still not good, but the other thing that I like about being around there is that I know that I'm not going to get surrounded by Hab fans.
There is that.
Because I don't like, because that's what I don't like at all. But like the whole crowd is loud on its own. We don't really need them.
In the playoffs, and everybody's
with
loud.
The discounts and the privilege.
True.
Everyone's loud. Because we know when the games are important. If it's January and we're playing Nashville, it's not that big of a deal. But that's just my own frustrations with it. So giving them all of that, giving them the props and saying that they're the ones that are getting the crowd going, I would disagree.
Yeah.
And now even from, and I know, yes, you can hear them on TV, but the other thing with that is that the press box is right on top of them. Which I didn't realize until Ian Mendez mentioned that he's right on top of them.
Well, I could hear them. I could hear them from my end of the building. Quite.
Can you hear
times.
The chants, or can you just hear the drums?
No, I could hear both.
You kind of hear both.
Okay. Yeah, I could hear both.
But it's not I mean, everyone else is being loud. There's so many loud Go Sens Go chants going around on the other side of the rink too. So, and including other things like the Pajot chant and the usual stuff that people catch on to. But the thing is, it's just so naturally loud at all times during a playoff game that the effect is a completely different, as opposed to, let's say, a season game where they're down and it's quiet and then they stick out because they're, you know, doing their chants over there. So I'm kind of indifferent to the whole thing. They can do what they want.
Oh, it doesn't bother me.
No.
It's just the privilege and the thing that they, that some of them feel that they are better fans and all of that stuff, which
that's the only thing I don't like. Yeah. It seems to create
a
we versus them culture where they start accusing the rest of the fans of being, you know, not cheering because they're sitting there watching the game and just reacting. They're clapping and cheering when there's a goal or when there's something exciting happening, but they're watching the game. Like, well, that's you know.
Let's keep this for a full episode.
Okay.
Let's keep talking about this game.
But yeah, just guys, just mind your chants, because when you start to chant the Bobby Ryan chant and then he changes and Pajot's on, then you realize it. So you start to chant Pajot, but then the tourist line is back on or whatnot. It's like you're missing it, and there's no real point for cheering for one individual player. When it's 0-0 in the third and you're down 3-0 in the series, don't start chanting, "We want the cup."
Well, I was going to say, don't start chanting, "This is our house," 6 seconds into the game. That was just lame. And I was sitting there going, "Really? You're going to this one at the beginning of the game? Come on, you can do better than that." But overall, apart from that, I found the experience in the building to be very loud.
Oh yeah!
At the beginning, and especially, it wasn't so loud during, you know, late in the first, through most of the second, early in the third. But as soon as that goal was scored, good Lord, it was loud. And after that, it was raucous.
The other thing about the in-game experience, though, sorry, just one other thing about the in-game experience. Alex played Japan Droids. I'm just saying.
Yeah, he didn't play any Baltimora for me. I was a little disappointed.
And you guys are needy.
No, but you.
Well, I only made one request. I asked that he play the goal horn some point, and he did.
I only asked for it six. I've only asked for it 7 times this year, because I've only been at 7 games. So,
every friggin' day I ask him for that.
Actually, maybe 8. Anyway, I'm just teasing. It's okay.
Alex. You're gonna get muted pretty soon. Yeah, but,
well, yes. I know. Well, like that would be a first. Really. Yes, I have opinions, and I happen to state them. Deal with it, people. That's the way it goes.
Oh, I also didn't mention this. Nice steal on Stu's picture on the ice there that you're using.
That was an amazing picture he used. Oh. Yes.
What? Yeah, it's great.
Oh, Stumman Stu took a fantastic picture of like center ice right from where he sits down in the penalty box.
Yes.
So I grabbed that, and I was using that as the background on Twitter. Whatever they call it. I
saw that. I was, okay, someone's changed this. It wasn't me.
So just a little bit more updated. Look good.
Okay, that's fine. I noticed I was going to ask you about that. So thank
assuming
you.
Stu doesn't mind it.
Hey, it's in public domain. So even if he does.
He wasn't claiming any sort of copyright on it. So
exactly.
I'm not claiming it to be my own. So
one little interesting note from this game. I'm just looking at the box score, and I'm looking at the scratches for the Ottawa Senators. There are a couple of names in here that I wasn't aware were scratches for the Ottawa Senators. Chris Dreider, Colin Greening, Buddy Robinson, Jared Cowan, Frederick Glason, Shane Prince, David Legwand, Alex Chiasson, Chris Weidman, and Matt Pumple.
Interesting.
Matt Pumple being the only one who's a lower body injury. Everybody else is a scratch. So we've got extra goalie again, and some extra defensemen and one extra forward.
Yeah, we got the Black Aces from Bingo.
Yeah. I didn't know they were here. This is what I'm saying. I didn't know they were here. So end of the game experience, at least for being there. Canuck, what was it like TV wise?
I saw the first period, and most of the second period I had listened to on the radio, and then I watched the third period. We've talked about this already in our last episode, but I find the Hockey Night in Canada, specifically the Rogers feed and those announcers, to be really annoying. It really does seem to be a big slant towards the Montreal. So when intermission comes up, I don't even listen. I tune them out. And I try really hard to kind of tune them out while I'm watching, too. It's sometimes hard, especially when they go up, like the Sens actually scored to go up 1-0, and it just seemed like immediately they were doing everything that we would consider to be a jinx and start talking about, whoa, in game five, you know, and show, well, Anderson's got a shutout on the line here, and blah, blah, blah. And then Glenn Healy kind of sounding dejected at the, apologies, I can't remember the, I think it was Gilbert. Who turned the puck over and eventually turned into the Hoffman goal. So he just sounded really dejected. And even just looking at the body language on the intermission, I had them muted and I turned on the Team 1200. And yeah, George Strombolopoulos there. And they just, I don't know. It's all Habs all the time.
Of course it is. That's why I don't want to.
It's like they turned on the suck for the playoffs here.
No, they just turned it up. It's, they already had the suck. They just turned it up.
They turned it up, yeah. It was unbelievable. Like, do even the Hab fans enjoy it?
Well, actually, I'm going to correct myself. They turned from suck to suck up.
That's a good way of putting it.
Ooh, good one. That's exactly what they're doing.
And it's pathetic, but... You see, that's why I've decided what I really want to see, because it's so during the regular season, whenever Ottawa and Toronto are playing, the bias is so obviously Toronto. And now that Ottawa's playing Montreal in the playoffs, the bias is so obviously Montreal. What I want to see, and it's unfortunate because it would involve something I don't want to see, I really want to see Montreal and Toronto play in the first round of the playoffs. It would be unfortunate because it meant Toronto made the playoffs. But it would be hilarious to see which bias supersedes which bias. The Toronto bias or the Montreal one?
It would be weird to see.
Because
until they actually call it perfectly.
No, they couldn't. They would probably have one Toronto homer and one Montreal homer on, and they would be arguing, which would be hilarious.
The thing I don't get with this is that, you know, this is the national broadcast. Montreal and Toronto are huge markets, but they're also polarizing markets because you're going to get a large population in the country that love Montreal. You're going to get a large population that hate Montreal. So they know this and they're broadcasting this across Canada. These games have been so close. Every game has been a one goal game. They, you know, flip a coin and see who's going to win. It just so happened that Montreal took the first three games. I'm not saying they don't deserve to win those games, but it's just been so close. And to kind of weight it so much and analyze so much and make it sound so much of a Montreal suck up that, what are you doing here? You're missing an opportunity for, this is a great series. It's a shame it's lopsided in the win column right now.
Well, when you stop and think about it, It's already been put out that Rogers is their first quarter was very bad, and it's because TV revenue, among other things, was down for advertising. Now, they're pandering to the Montreal Canadiens fan base, but the Montreal Canadiens fan base, I would wager, is smaller overall than the I don't like the Montreal Canadiens fan base throughout this entire country. Stop and think about that. Does that really make sense? From an economic point of view, for a national broadcaster, to be pandering to the minority of people who are watching?
Just don't pander. Just call the game as it is.
I agree. It would make an awful lot of sense, wouldn't it? I'm looking at this not as a hockey fan, but from a purely economic point of view.
Anyway.
You're pandering to a minority.
If you do it as a true national broadcast, like I don't know if you've seen any of the USA Channel or any of the Pittsburgh series, Pittsburgh Rangers or Islanders Capitals. Those series are called extremely well.
On the Canadian broadcast or the US broadcast?
Well, the Rangers Penguins, that one we get on CBC.
That's Bob Cole.
And that's Bob Cole. Mm-hmm. And yes, you have a lot of favoritism towards Sidney Crosby, but even at that, it's evenly mentioned. Well, it's
evenly misses calls on both sides.
Swayed towards Pittsburgh, but it's a hell of a. He's 80 years old.
It's bearable, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Well, that's that'd be nice.
And I really like the NBC feeds.
I'm on record saying that I'm wishing Bob Cole was doing this series.
Mm-hmm. We're whining again, guys. We're just going to be called.
That's what we do.
Ottawa Whiners. Anyway,
I'm asking for egalitarian. I'm not asking for homerism. I'm just asking for egalitarian. And if that makes me a whiner, well, that points the finger at the person who's calling me a whiner as what? Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying.
Hey, I know we're kind of merging the games because we're on the high of the win tonight, but I was at home game 3 and so were you, Pan, and you guys were at the game tonight. What'd you find for the atmosphere kind of before and after the game? And I'll describe my situation for home game 3. Sorry, home game 1, game 3. The traffic getting into that place was amazing. I'd forgotten how crazy playoff games are. Now, sure enough, I waited till the last minute, and I probably took the worst possible route, going right down Palladium Drive, local reference. And, I didn't get in my seat till about the countdown was 10 minutes before the game. And I left with enough time to be there 15 minutes before the warm-up in a regular season game. So, you know, shame on me for not taking into account. It's a weekend. People are coming early and stuff. But it was actually impressive to see that many cars and just so clogged up. And the way out, too, it took so long to get out of the parking lot. And it's like, this is what it's like. I actually wasn't complaining. I kind of enjoyed it. It's like, this is great. This is nice to see it this enthusiastic, this full, and this many people out. And the whole red zone out front, too, and the food stands and stuff. It's like, I like it.
I skipped the red zone. I did it because I left down. I live in downtown, and I left Centertown at, it was before 5:30. It was maybe 20 after 5, and I got to the building at, now that means I'm in rush hour.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to get out to the arena while everybody in downtown is trying to get home. And
a couple hours?
It took me almost an hour to get out there. If I was to drive it right now, since it's now 10 past 11, I could be out there in 20 minutes. Without breaking the speed limit, might I add.
Yeah.
So I was just getting quite frustrated because I don't normally drive in rush hour. I'm quite lucky that if I'm doing any sort of commuting, I'm either going in the wrong direction or I'm doing it at an hour where there isn't any traffic, so it's not a problem. But it was to me, I found it quite annoying today, but there were a lot of people out there. And by the time I got out there at 6:20, there were a ton of people both inside. There were a lot of people outside in spite of the fact that it wasn't exactly nice weather. There were a ton of people outside. I was a bit surprised, to be honest.
It's fun to see.
Yeah. I got to the building right at 6 and I left work early because I've got that flexibility now, which is fantastic.
Yeah. But that wasn't the case on Sunday though, was it, Pan?
No, Sunday went for dinner first at Centrum.
Did you actually get there for puck drop?
I got there right at 7.
Wow.
So I missed the Mark Reeds moment of silence with the Go Habs Go. And,
oh, yeah.
But I got the there for the anthem. Yeah, idiots.
Yeah, nice play. Classy move there, Habs fans. Well played. Let's not drag. This is supposed to be an emergency episode, so let's not make it an hour long. We have 2 emails to read. Who wants to read first one?
Or if my connection's bad, you guys should probably.
Oh, jeez. We do have 3.
We got one from Todd.
You want to read the phone one from Todd?
Sure. Yeah. So we got one from our friend in Toronto, Todd Van Allen. And he writes, "Damn. I was doing a show tonight, getting updates from my vibrating phone on stage. Still haven't seen the Hoffman goal. Did he score or something? So it appears that the Sens win, but I'm performing. Folks, I'm available for corporate events, birthday parties, and gathering of Hab fans where I pontificate on what the A on Subban's shirt actually means. Book me now! All money raised going to find my alcoholic depression to fund my alcoholic depression for missing every game from here on in. Serious question. No way Hamburglar is seeing the net again, is there? Asking, but part of me is sad that this will happen. let's win it all.
I don't think Hammond will be back in net.
Yeah, people were getting kind of upset that they put Anderson in. And I know Anderson lost on Sunday, but he looked rock solid on Sunday, and he looked rock solid tonight.
I would disagree with that slightly. I thought he looked shaky in the first 10 minutes of the game because he was right in front of me. I thought the first 5 to 7 minutes of the game, he was very shaky. And about the 12-minute mark of the first period, he just walked out and flashed the trapper and caught something. And I turned to Sylvie and went, okay, now he's in the zone. Mm-hmm. He's calmed down and he's totally in the zone now. He looked really good tonight. Don't get me wrong. Really good.
Yeah. He's an angles goalie though. So I don't know. He was damn good. People and I know that, like for both of these goalies too, it's like, yeah, okay. Some of the incredible saves that both of them have done, I don't think that the other one's style would have covered it. Like Anderson on the breakaway tonight, on the shorthanded breakaway.
Yeah.
Yep.
That probably would have been a goal. Because Hammond's got more tells and you can fake him out, Anderson. And that's a game right there. But there are some other saves that Hammond does because he's more unorthodox and more reactionary that Anderson wouldn't have gotten. So it's just you play with whichever one. For myself, too, I find that Hammond really looked nervous. And I know there's that picture of him like blinking, like really shutting his eyes with the Subban shot. And that could be a lot of nerves. These are the biggest games that he's ever played in his career as well. I don't think he's come anywhere close to this.
Right.
So Anderson's, sometimes you got to go with the experience and the older guys versus being young and hungry, right?
And I know people were trying to like question Anderson because of the goal he let in overtime in game 3.
Yeah.
Whatever. But I'm sorry, when you get to overtime, it's a shot on goal that wins the game, and it's usually not a pretty one. That's just the way overtime goals are in the playoffs. You just get what? Like when we played them last year and Turris turned around and just took a fire at the net, was Price suddenly a sucky goalie because he let it in? Like, come on. It's overtime. It's one shot.
And actually, I was watching the Islanders game with the Tavares goal, overtime goal. Mm-hmm. It was almost an identical play. Defensive breakdown, you get it back, and you just shoot on net.
It happens.
So it happens. Anyway. It's just unfortunate that it's at that point. But anyway.
Yeah.
Following up with TVA here. He is a great comedian. I know that we've gone to his shows as well.
Yep.
So if you do want to follow him, well, I guess on Twitter, it's at HeyIt'sTVA. And he's got a website at HeyIt'sTVA.com.
Yeah.
So he's all over the place. I know he just came back from the West Coast. And so check out his site for upcoming dates.
Yeah, do go and see him. He's a tremendously, tremendously funny guy. And a decent human being. Like a really fun guy just to hang around and shoot the breeze.
Really nice guy. Real nice.
And good contributor to both us and the Sens Underground. So we thank him for that as well.
Next Even email. Though we're secondary at best.
Oh, at best, exactly. I laughed. I really laughed. Everybody seems to think everybody seems to think that intro sounds like Michael Landsberg, though.
It did sound a little bit like him.
It's like, why is Michael Landsberg doing an intro for the Sens Underground? It's not Michael Landsberg, but okay. Anyway, we got two more emails to get through. Let's get through them and get out of here because it's already getting late. Next one is from Andrew Sicard. This is damn it, Drew, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It is.
Evening Stooges. Just a thought on tonight's game. Though the Sens still struggled mightily offensively, if they're going to come back, they need to get at least 3 goals a game. However, to counter that, Montreal's not the best offensive team, so you never know. What are your thoughts on Ryan? Personally, I have never been a fan and think the Sens handcuffed themselves by giving him that monster deal. For his sake, I hope he's hurt. It's either that or one of those aliens from Space Jam snuck into his hockey bag and stole his talent. Seriously, though, that's what he's playing like. Go easy on me if I have bad takes. It's been a while. Regards, Drew.
Damn it, Drew.
God damn it, Drew. You really have bad takes.
I noticed at one point...
He's so hurt.
At one point, he was skating and something happened. It was down in the far end, down where you were sitting.
He just turned.
He was skating okay to start the game and suddenly he could hardly move. And I was looking at it going, I couldn't tell if he had just taken a slash or to like to the legs or something, or puck off his leg, but it looked like he suddenly could hardly skate, and then 5 minutes later he could skate again. So I don't know whether it's something wrong with his skating or I honestly don't know, but there has to be something wrong because he's not the greatest skater in the world. He's not the worst skater in the world, but he's not the greatest one. And he just seems to be
really
laboring to do anything. And I wasn't able to watch him. He only had 14 minutes of ice time tonight. And I was trying to keep a bit of an eye on him to see whether he was having trouble turning. Like, remember when McCulloch came back? Not this season, but last season. He could skate really well in a straight line, but he couldn't turn very well. And I was wondering if maybe there was something like that. Like, I was trying to diagnose what the problem was. I couldn't figure it out.
It has to be the hernia. It has to be. Or something.
Well, he doesn't shoot very well. I was noticing his shooting his shooting reminded me of Mark Stone. Like, they both can't, they don't have their quick release, which is what they're known for.
Yeah.
So I don't know if whether maybe he has more than one injury, but I'm thinking his hand is still bothering him because he doesn't have that.
He barely shoots when he has the chance.
Yeah. It's on a stick and gone. On a stick and gone. He doesn't have that the way that he did earlier in the season and the way that Stone has as well, or Hoffman for that matter. So it may be a compound of more than one thing. I don't know. But I'm hoping that over the summer he can recover from it as he did last summer and come back in the fall, because we really need Bobby Ryan to be Bobby Ryan.
In regards to his contract, it's not max term. It's not max money.
Nope.
He does not have a no trade, if I recall. So don't worry about it. I don't think that he'll finish that contract here anyways. And when you're looking at the money, well, it's whatever. It's like, we need a game six just so we can pay for Colin Greening's buyout this summer.
Mm-hmm.
So it's... there's wasted money all over the place. And like, what are you going to do with leg one now?
Yeah, he's only got a year left.
Yeah, but it's still $3.5 million, right? So that's half of what Ryan makes. You're going to complain about Ryan? Does he have to be better? Yes. Is there a reason as to why he hasn't played well this year with an injury? Yes. So the main question is, what's going to be the long-term impact of that versus the money that he's getting paid? The other question, Cards, I know that you've mentioned this, and I don't remember if we've done it on the show or not. What are your other options to spend that money on? And there haven't been those names because all the big-name UFAs are now getting re-signed and not going to market.
Exactly.
And with that, too, in my opinion, we don't need to improve or change our top six anymore. The main issue is in regards to the quality of our defense. That's just me.
Complicated question, which we'll keep for a full episode.
Yeah.
Going back, there's...
What did you guys think of Chris Neal?
I thought Chris Neal was
not as good tonight.
I thought he was fine.
I really noticed him in game three.
Yeah, well,
he was great in game three.
The hit numbers were down tonight, and then we're talking about that in the postgame show, and Coach Cameron actually mentioned it in his interview in the postgame show, that the hit numbers were down. It wasn't necessarily part of the game plan. It's just the way the game turned out. They were playing a very tight game, so it wasn't as hit-friendly, shall we say. I don't think he
played a lot either. Yeah.
Zach Smith
fine. The other thing is
was fine. Invisible. He was invisible.
No, that's okay.
Well,
if a
player's coming into a lineup and somebody else is coming out, I should notice it. And I didn't. I actually went looking for when Zach Smith was on the ice. And when I saw him on the ice, I didn't notice him on the ice.
Fourth line, David Legwand's -3. And Smith also only played 6 minutes 11. I found his control to get it into the zone and keeping it there was pretty good, and that's all you really want out of Zach Smith. But crap, that kid's got to keep his stick on the ice. It's always flying around. Now, Neal played 6:06 tonight. I'm just going to take a look to see what he played last game, because I think that his minutes also might have gone down, even though we were shorthanded a lot. But he came out flying in game three. Go ahead.
Well, since we're talking about Zach Smith.
Yeah, 823 for Neil in game three, 606 in game four.
That's for Chris Neil?
Chris Neil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Canuck, do you want to read the email from Ivan or shall I?
Sure, I got it up here.
Okay, go for it. Because it mentioned Ivan Zach White. Smith. That's why I thought we'd just throw it in here.
So Ivan White from Newfoundland writes in, howdy, did Zach Smith make all the difference in Game 4 win? I bet CBC Rogers thinks so because that's about as deep as they are willing to look at the Sens. It's about as relevant as anything else I might have overheard said on that terrible broadcast the past week. In my last email, I ventured to pontificate about the media attention the Sens were getting from all sides, and how I may have taken some guilty pleasure in being able to tune into the media outlet of my choice and find our team front and center sometimes. We were spoiled by TSN, but I don't think any team deserves to be treated with as little respect as the Sens are being portrayed right now. I just want to watch hockey and enjoy it, but it's very difficult when you can hear the broadcast, not just outwardly choosing sides, but going out of their way to dump on our team. I can't be the only one hearing it because my father's a Hawks fan, and he confirmed it. And so do one of my best friends, a logical Habs fan. Is CBC Rogers picking up on that many extra viewers on the English broadcast because of the series that they feel they need to pander to them? Discuss. Also, can you guys imagine if the yard waste was in? I guess it could be worse. Go Sens go. Give me some love, Rogers. Leaf suck to eternity for affinity. Ivan.
We actually talked about part of this earlier.
we pretty much covered all of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think Ivan's kind of in the same, similar boat as me of Zach Smith. Sin, who cares? It's fine. Well, the other thing is Chris Neil hasn't been going offside, which has been great. Like he hasn't taken a penalty.
Nope.
Well,
that's true.
Happens, but he hasn't taken a penalty, and he's not blowing some of these, some of the plays or some of the zone coverages. So
there was one play in our end in the third period, which was the end I was sitting at, where Craig Anderson froze the puck. And somebody went to dig at it and suddenly realized, one of the Habs went to dig at it and suddenly realized that Zach Smith, Chris Neil, and Mark Borowiecki were basically standing in front of them going, yeah, try it.
I remember that. That was great because he just started shoving it. It's like, oh, crap, it's Neil. So he stopped and actually skated away. Just fantastic.
Well, one of them sort of gave a little shot to Boro over a linesman's shoulder and then turned around to find Chris Neil staring right at him. Like from inches away going, hi. Oh, I just shoved one player across the line and turned around. Well, yeah. Oh, I kind of screwed up. This could be very, very bad. And it ended well, shall I say. That's all. Now, okay, for an emergency episode, this is going along a little long. Is there anything else you want to talk about this game? Other than the fact that we're very, very happy that the Sens won. And there'll be a game 5. Yeah,
today was the 5-year anniversary of the Matt Karkner goal.
Oh, that's right.
Against the Pittsburgh Penguins in triple overtime or double overtime?
Double overtime.
That was 5 years ago?
5 years ago.
5 years ago today.
That was
today.
5 years ago. Wow.
There was actually an excellent interview today. Karks was on the radio in the afternoon talking about that and a bunch of other things. I miss Matt Karkner because he is a character, and a very, very funny one at that. The interview was hilarious.
He's kind of the new Karkner, though, isn't he?
Well, he is, but yeah, I think Karkner just because Karkner's just a little older, and I mean, he's kind of a cross between Boro and Bobby Ryan and Chris Neil in sort of his approach to everything. He's very straightforward. He's also very funny, very funny, and. He was just having fun with Ian Mendez on the radio this afternoon. If you haven't heard it, I'm sure it's probably on the – well, not sure. I shouldn't say I'm sure it's probably because that's an absolute and then a possibility. Those don't go together very well. I'm fairly certain it would be on the Team 1200. Yeah, there you go. On the Team 1200 website that you can link to as a podcast or just stream it. But it was a very, very funny interview with Matt Carkner. And I really hope, just on a personal level, I really hope he gets another NHL contract because his contract with the Islanders is up. But it was he was talking about the 5-year anniversary of that that particular goal, as well as several other things today. So if you haven't heard it, go find it. It's good for a laugh, as well as just an interesting interview from a former player from here. Anything else?
Well, I'm glad we got a game 5.
Absolutely.
Staying alive.
Game 5 will be on Friday night. Yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Friday now, night, 7 o'clock in Montreal. So let's see how great we get the opportunities.
How much do we need to thank Mont Tremblant for hosting the Canadians and giving them a chance to relax there over the last few days?
I was honestly thinking that's like they're going to come out soft and just slow. I don't think they really did.
I was just hoping they would, because thinking back to that time when the Sens were in Florida and they went for warm up on the beach or whatever it was they did.
Yeah, instead of a game day skate. Yeah. It's just ridiculous. But well, these things happen, I guess. You give your guys a day off and then they really take the day off.
Well, if you're in Tremblant, lots of bars around at least. Anyway, we don't know when our next full episode
is what Friday is. Yeah, you know what Friday is, though.
Most important game of the year?
Absolutely.
Okay. I'll have to buy some more 50 for that. I'm running out.
I'd say it's not over until the fat lady sings, but I don't even want to talk about that when it comes to Hab games.
Oh, easy now. Jeanette Renault is an institution. Yes, she's not well, and her voice isn't what she used to be, but come on. Come on.
It's just noise.
Well, her voice isn't very good anymore, but she's just there because she's there.
Like the anthem today when Lyndon Slowjo is just holding that last note.
Oh, it was awesome. It was fantastic. Great. I tried to hold it as long as he did, but I ran out of air.
That's what she said.
Yeah, no. Anyway, we don't know when our next we don't know when our next full episode is going to be out, so we wanted to do this emergency episode this evening. In the meantime, folks, you can still email us your thoughts about any of the games in the series or anything else you want to talk about or want us to talk about. Because for some reason, people really value our opinions, and I question your sanity on that. But I also appreciate it, so it kind of balances out. You can email us at podcast@sensecallups.com. You can post in the online forums at sensecallups.com. The game threads are fun. I'm sorry I wasn't part of it tonight because my phone was dying and I was in the building, but I tried to be a part of them when I'm watching the games at home. You can contact us on Twitter, Facebook, or the waiver wire at 844-SCU-6565. Until our next episode, I'm Cardinal on behalf of Fan and Canuck. Thanks very much for listening. Good night. Back 50. It's good for what ails you.
ALE?
EIEIO. What are you talking about?
It's good for what ails you.
Yeah!
Yes. Very well put. Yeah.